So in today's first reading, we heard the souls of the just are in the hand of God, and no torment shall touch them. But today we're celebrating All Souls Day, a day that we say that those people who've died in friendship of God are in purgatory, are not fully in heaven yet. So how do we put those two realities together? Well, we do that first and foremost by looking at the two categories of sin. And to get those two categories, we turn to the Bible. We turn to sacred scriptures. In particular, we go to 1 John 5, 16 through 17. And we go there, we read, "If anyone sees his brother committing what is not a mortal sin, he will ask God, and God will give him life, for those whose sin is not mortal. There is a sin that is mortal. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is a sin which is not mortal." So we get right out of the scriptures this distinction between a mortal sin and a non-mortal sin, which we Catholics call venial. Now, to commit a mortal sin, there are three sort of categories or three criteria that you have to get. Many of you know Father Michael, and this is one of his favorite Father Jerome stories. So my parents came to visit me when I was in early formation, and we're driving in the car. And my mom's like, "I don't really get this mortal venial sin." My dad's like, "That's easy. Mortal sin, grave matter, full consent, and full knowledge." I looked at him like, "Why didn't you tell me this 20 years ago? It would have saved me a lot of trouble, you know?" But that's it, right? That's a mortal sin. Any action that doesn't meet that criteria falls into the category of venial sin. Now, it's called a mortal sin because of what it does. It kills, it severs our relationship with God. We're not born Christians, we're baptized Christians. And at our baptism, sanctifying grace that saves us, that grace that makes us sons and daughters of God, is given to us, is poured into our souls. But we can reject that. We can kick that grace out of our soul, if you will, through sin, through mortal sin, serious sin, grave sin. So if we die in a state of mortal sin, well, then we are headed for damnation. But then we turn to the good news. Today's second reading, St. Paul is recounting that good news to the Romans. He's telling us of that wonderful salvific work that Christ did for us. We heard, "But God proves his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So Christ dies on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. We could never make up for an injustice against God. Only God himself could do that. And that grace of the cross is given to us in the forgiveness of sins through the sacrament of confession. Once again, we have to go back to our scriptures. When we do that, we go to John 20, 21 through 23. The disciples are in the upper room. The door is locked, and they're afraid because their leader, their Messiah, their rabbi has been killed. Then all of a sudden, a dead man comes literally through a locked door. And he says to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." So we see in the scriptures that Jesus Christ himself is giving his disciples, giving his apostles this beautiful gift to act in his stead. The ascension is coming. Christ will be leaving. But God gives us that tangible assurance that our sins can be forgiven through the instrumental causality of his disciples. So when we go to confession and we're repentant and contrite and ask God for forgiveness, he told us, "I will forgive your sins." He proves it to us by dying on the cross, showing how much he loves us, that he died on the cross. Well, it seems pretty clear cut, Father Jerome. Why purgatory? Why do you Catholics have to invent these things? Well, we don't invent them. We just think about our lives and look at it. So even though our sins have been forgiven, the temporal consequences still remain. Yes, our relationship with God has been restored. We are back on track for that beatific vision, eternal life with God. But we have those temporal consequences, those consequences that still linger. Think about someone who commits murder. They could be repentant. They could be contrite. They could come back and ask God for forgiveness. But the person they murdered is still dead. Think about the person who commits adultery. They can be sorry. They can be repentant. They can be contrite. But that hurt, that violation of those vows, of the matrimonial vows, that hurts. If it ever happened to you, know that. I've dealt with people who struggle with that. Rebuilding that trust takes a long time to come back. I think of my life. There's sins that I've committed that I'm sorry for. I've gone to confession. I know I've received forgiveness. But there's sorrow still in my life because of them. Not guilt. There's no such thing as Catholic guilt. You do something wrong, follow me. Do something wrong, admit it. Own it. And then go to confession and get rid of it. Guilt is for people who don't want to admit that what they did was wrong. They justify. Oh, no, just admit it. Own up and move on. But there can be sorrow. There is sorrow in my heart for some of the things I've done. Some of the people in my life I love greatly, I've hurt. I've hurt myself and I've offended my God. I don't stay up at night worrying about it. I don't beat myself up over it. Once in a while, I'm like, ah, what a jerk, you know? Then there's venial sins, those sins that don't merit, you know, mortal sin, but that we like. We like to hold on to them. We're not ready to let them go. Once again, the book of Revelation, scriptures tell us nothing unclean may come into heaven. So if we die in a state of saving grace, if we die in a state of friendship with God, we're destined for heaven. But we have that unfinished business, that uncleanliness that the book of Revelation refers to still on our souls. And we can't bring that to heaven. We wouldn't want to bring that to heaven. Imagine all eternity with that gunk on your soul. That doesn't sound like paradise to me. So this is where we'll disagree with some of our Christian brothers and sisters. They'll say, well, wait a second. Christ's blood washed away all of our sins. Aren't you sort of diminishing his death upon the cross if you think he can't take these sins away? Well, the Catholic Church absolutely teaches he can take those sins away. And he does take those sins away. But this happens in time. Think about a baptism. Little one is baptized. Well, 2,000 years ago, Christ died on that cross. But the merit, the grace of that cross is now brought forward 2,000 years later and applied to that person. The same thing is happening in purgatory. In time, Christ is helping us to grow. In time, Christ is showing us who we are. In a conversation with a friend who doesn't believe in purgatory, I made the same arguments I just made for you. And he says, well, okay, I understand that. But I believe right at the second we die, God washes away all those sins. But that would violate our free will. God doesn't do that in this world. Why would he do that in the next? There's growth in understanding who we are. There's growth in coming to terms with it. I was just on retreat. So for 5 days, I didn't have to think about you guys. I did. I prayed for you guys, but not all of this stuff. And you think, you start to go into that different place. You don't have to worry about all this stuff. You start thinking, you see your life in a different way. That's why retreats are wonderful. I highly recommend them. Go away. Get away for a weekend. Don't go to Hawaii. Just go, sit, be quiet, listen to God and yourself. So if you think about it, once we're dead, we don't have to worry about all those things that we worry about. We don't have to worry about eating, sleeping, all those things. And we see ourselves as God sees us. And we say, ah, there's room here to grow. There's room here for us to purge ourselves. That's where the word purgatory comes from. So purgatory is not a second chance to repent of our sins. When we die, we are judged. We stand before our Lord and we face judgment. And there are two options. We look at Matthew 25. Jesus says to the sheep, come on in, come on up. You've done my will. You've been in relationship with me. But to the goats, he says, going down. You have not fed. You have not believed. You have not done those things that you're supposed to do. Now, if hell is what we've merited through our lives, well, so be it. But if heaven is, then there's two other options, right? Some people will go directly to heaven, you know, pass go, collect $200, get out of jail free card, all those wonderful things. But that would imply that you're in the most perfected state that you can be. That would imply that there's nothing unclean on your soul. Do some people do that? Maybe. I can tell you, I am not one of them. But for the rest of us, there will be that time of cleansing, that time of purifying, and that's where purgatory comes in. And that's why, especially during the month of November, we pray for our dead. I go to funerals all the time, and everyone's canonizing everybody. Nobody sins anymore. When you come to my funeral, I want you to say, Father Jerome was a sinner, and all of you better be praying for him hard. We pray he's in purgatory. We pray that he gets out of purgatory. Pray for me. I need the prayers. If you guys don't need the prayers, please come and tell me what I'm doing wrong. Because every funeral I go to, we're canonizing everybody. Sure, we can say that this was a good person, a holy person, led a good life, and we have a moral certitude that they're on their way to heaven, but we pray for them. Pray for that final perfection that they need, that we all need, as we journey to be with our God. The book of Revelation says nothing unclean will get into heaven, and God in his mercy has said, I give you this place to purify yourself. Cooperate with my grace so you can be with me for all eternity in heaven.